This is the United States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Episode 171. I'm your host, Chris Stafford, and I'd like to remind you, of course, that the views of the host and guests of this podcast do not necessarily reflect the views of the USDF or its members. On this week's episode, we're going to be hearing from the USDF President, George Williams. He'll have a review of the 2017 Adequan USDF Annual Convention. And we'll also be hearing from Laura Graves as she celebrates Verdadis being named as the 2017 Adequan USDF Grand Prix Horse of the Year. But first, we have a reminder for L graduates that since L graduates are used to judge schooling shows, it's important that they stay up to date with current judging criteria in order to give proper comments to riders competing at the grassroots level. Starting in 2017, L graduates and L graduates with distinction are required to complete 8 hours of judge-specific continuing education per year. Graduates who meet the continuing education requirements will be listed on the USDF website. A continuing education report form is available also on the USDF website. And if you have any questions at all about the L Graduates and L Graduates with Distinction program, please feel free to contact lprogram@usdf.org. And as the year draws to a close and our champions were celebrated at the 2017 Adequan USDF Salute Gala and Annual Awards Banquet, the USDF would like to once again congratulate Laura Graves from Geneva, Florida, who is the owner and rider of the 15-year-old Dutch Warmblood Gelding Verdadis, for being named as the 2017 Adequan USDF Grand Prix Horse of the Year. Verdadis' median score of 79.940% made him the top horse in the United States competing at this level and the recipient of the USDF's highest honor, and he was duly recognized at the 2017 Adequan USDF Salute Gala and Annual Awards Banquet. Verdadis was also the recipient of the Colonel Thackeray Award and will have his name engraved on a silver trophy to be on permanent display in the Roma Foundation USDF Hall of Fame. The USDF Executive Director Stefan Hensch commented that the USDF is thrilled to be able to recognize this extraordinary horse for his many accomplishments during the 2017 competition season. We also congratulate his owner and rider, Laura Graves, and the entire Verdadis team. And you can find more information about the Adequan USDF Horse of the Year Awards and view the list of past and current recipients by visiting the website at usdf.org. And in honor of Verdadis winning this award, we have an excerpt from an interview that was recorded with Laura Graves, which aired after the FEI World Cup in Omaha earlier this year. Laura Graves has become an established member of the U.S. team. She made her debut on the team at the 2014 World Equestrian Games, where she finished fifth, and then went on to the World Cup Finals in Las Vegas, where she finished just off the podium. But a year later, she was on the team again in Rio, where the team won, of course, the bronze medal, and Laura just missed out on getting on the podium there too. But she got her revenge in Omaha, Nebraska, by finishing second to Isabel Werth, who captured the World Cup title with Viagold on a score of 90.704. Laura finished on 85.307%, which was a personal best for her. And she joins me now from her home in Florida. Hi, Laura. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Well, congratulations.
You can't ask more from my horse. He was in top form, and it's great to have him go like that at an event here in the United States.
Well, a personal best, 85.307. Was that something you were expecting going into this?
You never really know what to expect, especially in an environment where we have such limited experience. But he's been in top form coming out of Rio. He stayed that way all season, finally hitting 80% in the Grand Prix. And so we knew that anything was possible. He really, really loves to show. And he seems to appreciate it more as he gets older.
And we know he's a bit of a spooky pony, isn't he? I mean, we know how he behaved in Vegas a couple of years ago. What did he think to the Omaha venue and the crowds there that love him, of course?
Yeah, he's very, very spooky. And he's just that way by nature. But it was a great environment because in Vegas, you know, the warm up was private. So then you would leave the warm up, you were outside, and then you would walk in through the tunnel to the stadium. But here in Omaha, everything was contained inside the venue. So the stables, we had a private warm up. Then we had a very, very busy public warm up in the middle of the vendor village, which was actually more chaotic than the stadium itself. So it was a really great situation to get your horse prepared for competition day. My coach Deb and I, we were both, you know, telling him what a great guy he is because he went into that public warm up the first day and was really, you know, pleasantly surprised by how brave he was. He felt amazing the whole Grand Prix, the first part of the trot tour. Unfortunately, you know, that spookiness came back a little bit in the first payoff where we have to face, you know, basically a panel of cameras with flashes. And that was a bit of a mistake. And then I made a rider error going into our second pirouette. So some expensive things. But when I watched the test on the video, I thought he was terrific.
How do you deal with those with the big events now that you've had obviously a lot of team experience already in the few years that you've been competing at this level?
It's funny because I think something that was a unique experience for the entire U.S. dressage team in Rio, looking back, is that there is pressure, but every single one of us contributed to that medal. And having a team around you that's so supportive, even when you're having a bad day, it's something none of us do on purpose. And obviously we all go out there and want to make it a personal best, but this is horses. And there's a lot of humility in this sport. You know, don't we do this for fun? You know, I think that's something that people forget often. And after the year I had last year, for sure, I'm able to look forward to these competitions as fun, you know, having a good time and just getting to show my horse in the best possible way and to enjoy it.
And congratulations again to Laura and Vidardis for winning the 2017 Adequan USDF Grand Prix Horse of the Year. Well, joining me now is George Williams, president of the USDF, who's going to review the 2017 Adequan USDF Annual Convention, which took place from November 29th through December the 2nd in the home turf, of course, of the headquarters at Lexington, Kentucky. George, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. The USDF convention, it is both a business meeting and, of course, we have educational sessions, university sessions that we do. And we finish it with a highlight of the celebration of achievements at the Salute Gala on Saturday night. And this year was no exception. That's how we did it. Once again, the convention was sponsored by Adequan, and we had contributing sponsors for it, which were Saddle Science and Stable Ice. And then Region 2, there were six GMOs that helped sponsor some of the breaks, refreshment breaks and whatnot. So Mid-Ohio Dressage Association, Indiana Dressage Society, Wisconsin Dressage Combined Training Association, Centerline Dressage, New Dressage Association, and of course, Kentucky Dressage Association. The local GMO was, and these GMOs really helped to make not only the convention go, but I think as everyone is aware, the GMOs play a very important role in the USDF. We are really kind of a federation of dressage clubs, of the group member organizations. When we're in Kentucky, we always like to take advantage of the number of vets that are in the area. We use a lot of the different vets for our educational sessions. So there's always a veterinarian slant to them. We did several this year. One was focused on gastric ulcers, another on vaccinations, what, when, and why. We had a vet come in and speak on large animal rescue. And of course, new treatments and lameness, which I think as everyone is aware that treatments and also diagnostic tools will keep advancing and moving forward very quickly in that field. We had another session, which I think could be quite beneficial for those that are competing, with the prohibited substances in feed and supplements. And I think, you know, a lot of times there are prohibited substances that people aren't even aware of put in their feeds and supplements. So that was really a good session. Then we had one on joint health and another one, Dr. Hillary Clayton did one of her fantastic lectures on show and tell of the horse's spine. Those are really the main educational or university sessions that we had. And, you know, they're always well attended and there's always a lot of information being given out. I want to go to the sort of business meetings next. I want to save the Salute Gala for last because that was a fantastic event this year. But for the, you know, for the business meetings, I think one of the great benefits of the convention is it is an opportunity for several of the groups, and especially I'm thinking now of the licensed officials, have a chance to get together and really discuss some issues. So the judges committee, they hold a closed session where the judges really discuss some of the important issues of today. I think I was not in those sessions, but I think everyone is at this point is probably pretty aware of the things that were put forward by the FEI regarding the dropping the collective marks at the end of the test. And also, of course, which the FEI did not continue with, but the whole high-low concept in judging. The L program also, the committee meets and really reviews the L program. You know, the other opportunity we have is for the regents. The nine regents have their meetings, and there's a lot of discussion that is centered around what works in their regions, what programs and projects are happening in their regions. And so I think those are really quite informative. Within the different committees, the Adult Programs Committee had some, I think, very valuable discussions on how to improve our eTrack, which is our online education program that we offer on the website. In the Regional Championships meeting, that was an open discussion. There was discussion on how to handle those riders who don't show up for the award ceremonies. At this point, your audience may know that, you know, if you don't show up, not only do you lose your placing, but your score doesn't count. There was a lot of discussion that even if you don't show up, maybe the score should still count, but of course you would lose your placing. There's also some discussion back and forth on the importance of closing the gate during regional championships. There are some that think it's a bit of a nuisance because it takes, of course, it takes a lot of volunteers in some of these bigger shows to make sure that that can happen. But then the competitors, several competitors spoke up and talked about the importance of it and the feel that it gives, you know, the championship feel that we're looking for in our regional championships. In our youth meetings, these again were open. They talked about, which is quite, I think is always sort of the case, the ways to communicate today and how do you reach members. So they talked about use of social media. And I think one of the things that's sort of kind of fascinating today is that we have so many means and ways to communicate compared to 15 or 20 years ago. Yet it seems like it's harder than ever to reach members and communicate to them. So the question is, do you use a Twitter? Do you use texting? Do you use Facebook? Do you email? Whatever, there's so many different electronic ways to do it. I think one of the other conversations that came up in the youth meetings is, you know, people get confused with the terminology when we talk about juniors and young riders and whether they always mean the FEI juniors or the FEI young riders. And, you know, we usually group, if we just say juniors, young riders, we usually group children and sometimes ponies into that. And, you know, one way to look at it is to think in terms of the group as a U21. So it would be all inclusive, not just of FEI levels, but also of the USCF levels. We had a youth open forum with Charlotte Bridal for the youth on how to get more bang for their buck when they ride in clinics and how to make them boast of their clinics. So, you know, we really, not only with these committee meetings, we also do try to continue to offer an educational aspect. So try to make the meetings as educational and informative as possible. So we have these breakout meetings with the different committees. There are some open forum type meetings. The competition management and others held an open competition forum. We were very fortunate and we had a lot of USEF staff there to help answer questions from their competition licensing department and from their compliance department. The GMO committee held a roundtable for GMOs, a lot of discussion there. So that was good. And then, of course, the big meeting, which is what it's, the convention really is all about, the business part, is the Board of Governors. This year it was overall fairly quiet. We heard, I think, a very good informative report from Robert Dover on where high-performance dressage is and where the team efforts are and the different programs out there. He outlined the elite program, which is sort of the Olympic level, if you will, or going into the World Equestrian Games, those riders, and all the way down to the Discover Dressage USEF, USDF Emerging Athlete Program, which is for our youth. And then the U.S. Equestrian President, Murray Kessler, gave quite an interesting report on what USEF is doing and how it's changing and how it's moving forward and has been using their strategic plan, which is really trying to build more membership and expand interest in equestrian sports. We did have, as I mentioned, at the Board of Governors, there were several things that came up. I used the opportunity to announce some of the developments we have on the memorandum of understandings that we have with the U.S. Equestrian. These are agreements that we have to run a lot of the programs that we do, such as regional championships, joint recognition of competitions, the licensing recognition of competitions, joint membership verification. There are a lot of projects like that that we have. One of the things that's moving forward is where you're trying to get a master memorandum of understanding with the USEF that really spells out the roles and responsibilities of each organization. And quite simply, from our perspective, one of the important things is really recognizing the USDF as the experts in dressage and as the official affiliate within the United States affiliate of the U.S. Equestrian. So those are, it's kind of business things that can sometimes be a little bit on the boring side, but they're crucial really to our long-term business operations, if you will. I also gave an update on where we are with our strategic plan. Last year, we developed a strategic plan that the executive board approved in the spring, and that is actually available for anyone to see on our website. We had put together three task forces that come from the strategic plan. In other words, we wanted to really look at the awards, and so we had an awards evaluation task force working this year, looking at the awards. We had a task force, this is sort of the preliminary work that they're doing, which is establishing program evaluation parameters so that we have a very uniform way to look at our programs and evaluate them. That work was accomplished. So I think moving forward, we'll have a much better ability to evaluate our programs and make sure that they fit into what we are doing and that they are successful. And then we also have a regional level recognition task force. I think ultimately should help us with our group member organizations and some of their programs. There was some discussion that we need to be more open, more transparent in how we run the how we do the dressage finals. And I think what we have reached the point, this dressage finals are well established. I think that we've now done 5 years. It's certainly time to really open it up and ask for more member input and different aspects of the finals. Let me put it that way. The U.S. dressage finals really has a solid foundation, and so much of that is thanks to the work that Janine Malone had done in the early years, and along with Lloyd Mankammer, they really help us develop a very solid foundation from which we can continue to build the finals into a bigger and better competition. So we do plan in the future to have open meetings at the convention regarding the finals so that members can certainly give us more feedback. And just a last note on that, in 2018, the U.S. finals will be in Lexington at the Kentucky Horse Park once again. The other aspect of the convention, which seems it's getting bigger and bigger, and it's, again, in our work with U.S. Equestrian, they continue to hold meetings during our convention. the U.S. Equestrian over the last year has sort of redone some of their governance for dressage within the organization. They used to have a national or a technical dressage committee and a high performance dressage committee. They since changed that and have created a single sport committee called the Dressage Sport Committee. So the Dressage Sport Committee held their meeting during our convention, and the Dressage Sport Committee has several different working groups that report to them, and those working groups also held their meetings during the convention. So as you can imagine, it was a pretty packed convention with all of these meetings. As far as open meetings, the U.S. Equestrian held a rules forum, which we've done for a number of years now, which gives our members a good opportunity to give feedback on the rule changes being proposed. Just so everyone is aware, those go forward to the U.S. Equestrian Board at their January meeting for approval. So U.S. Equestrian also did its first athletes meeting on Saturday during the convention, and we had Debbie McDonald was there, Charlotte Bridal, Christine Trarig, and myself were there as coaches. Unfortunately, Robert Dover had to leave prior to that and wasn't able to be at that meeting. But it was a very good meeting with topics that are of concern to athletes. Some had to do with competing in Europe and being able to go up through the levels and to move up to really, how do you get to be a senior international competitor? The U.S. Equestrian also held a CDI organizers meeting. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to get to that meeting, but I heard that there was a lot of good things discussed there, and that was very helpful. So I have to say, from the USDF perspective, we're thrilled to have more involvement from USEF in that sense. And again, it sort of goes back to what I mentioned with the memorandum of understanding. I think it really is showing that the U.S. Equestrian is beginning to really see USDF as the experts on dressage, and this is where they also need to reach the dressage community. You know, as I mentioned in the beginning, probably one of the most fun things of the whole convention, really, is the Salute Gala on Saturday night. Not only is it fun to see everyone in all the different members receive their awards, and especially like with the Rider Awards, the looks on their faces, you know, they've worked hard, it's been a goal, and really just to see the pleasure and the sense of achievement that they feel. And I have to say, for the Grand Prix Horse of the Year, the horse was Verdades, ridden by, of course, Laura Grace. But she and Verdades received the Grand Prix Horse of the Year. So she was there at the banquet, and it was great having her there. But her comment to me afterwards had to do with how she really enjoyed seeing the happiness of the thrill of the people who are receiving medals and are receiving rewards, and how happy they are to, you know, have set a goal and be able to achieve that goal and then to be recognized for it. So that was fun to hear from someone who had not been at one of our galas before. Just on that very quickly, I think it's anyone listening to, if you're a big Verdades supporter, which and fan, which most of us are, is U.S. Equestrian has chosen Verdades as one of two horses to be in the running for the FEI Horse of the Year for U.S. Equestrian. And that is, there's an aspect, I think you can go online and vote with U.S. Equestrian for Verdades for to be the Horse of the Year, U.S. Equestrian FEI level Horse of the Year. So I would encourage anyone who is a fan of Verdades to look into that and see if you can vote for him. We also, at the Galas, we honor a few individuals for things that they have either achieved over the year or achieved in their lifetime. So I want to start with, first, we recognize Megan Slaughter as our Youth Volunteer of the Year. Unfortunately, she was not able to get to the gala due to problems with her flights. But Megan, she's from Idaho. She has done a lot with her local GMO and region as a volunteer, and she was recognized for that. We also recognize Debbie Del Giorno as I say, the adult volunteer of the year for all the work that she has done, especially with young riders and within Region 1, but also being on the committees and being able to help young riders throughout the whole country. She's been involved for a number of years, and it was really a pleasure to be able to recognize her for all the efforts that she has put in. And, you know, as I'm sure you're aware, the USDF is so dependent on our volunteers, so it really is fun to be able to recognize them. This year, we posthumously awarded Lois Heyerdahl with the Member of Distinction Award. It was very almost bittersweet. Her husband was there to accept, along with her daughter, Teresa. Her husband, Chuck, was there. He gave a very, very moving acceptance speech. I don't think there was a dry eye in the room when he was done. And he received a standing ovation. And I have to say, when you're standing up there and you look down and you listen to him speak, and then you see the reaction and the people standing, it's really quite moving. We also awarded Winnie Heine Duncan from Region 6 with the Member of Distinction Award, that recognized her for all the work that she has done within her region and with that area, the West Coast, but especially within Region 6. And that's the nice thing about the Member of Distinction Award, is it allows us to really recognize those that are or have had a tremendous impact in the growth of dressage, not just in a regional level, but maybe in their area, maybe not so much on a national scale, but have had a tremendous impact. So it's fun to be able to recognize that. And Winnie, who's 88, had traveled out to be there and accept your award. And again, I have to say, it's very moving to see. I have to say, you know, the most fun of the whole thing, we awarded Lilo Four, or inducted Lilo Four, into the Romer USDF Hall of Fame. You know, it's fun to be able to recognize someone like Lilo. She has done so much for our sport. She's been a true ambassador for the U.S. as a five-star judge. And then all the way down to, she's been co-chair, and I think in the past chair by herself, but she's recently been co-chair of the instructor trainer certification program and committee, and has had a tremendous impact in that manner. She was fairly successful as a competitor. She obviously has been a very, very good judge, very good clinician instructor. And as I said, she's also been very active on the committees. To finish the presentation to her, we were able to get a wonderful jib jab from Stephen Clark that showed the fun side of Lilo. As Stephen Clark and Lilo saying, "I've got you, babe." And it was such a fun evening and so fun to see. And as I said, you know, it's wonderful to be able to recognize all of these individuals who have given so much to our sport. I'd like to just finish that I am now going into my final year. 2018 is my last year as president. And there are a few things that, you know, we sort of set out to do from the beginning that I would like to see happen. We were able to get the US Dressage Finals up and running. That was one of them. But I think almost more important is really trying to get the instructor certification program solidly in place. And with that, especially the FEI level certification. So we've started to have some smaller meetings with some of our advisory group on how to really move forward and push that. And I'm hoping that everyone will see we're trying to do a big push this year to really, again, as I said, solidly get it in place so that it really is up and running. I think it is so important for those coming into the sport, you know, to be able to choose instructors that can really help them and show them the way and bring them along correctly. So I think that pretty much sums up everything from the convention on that I can think of. I'm not sure if I missed anything or if you have any questions or points you want to bring up.
I think that pretty much sums it up, as you said, George. Very comprehensive review of this year's convention. A lot happened, a lot of fun, a lot of business, all wrapped up there at the convention this year, of course, sponsored by Adequan once again. So thanks, George, to you for taking the time to come on the program and give us that review. Thank you so much. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And George did want to mention that 2017 was the year for the election of the at-large directors that chair the three councils and sit on the executive board. This year, Kevin Bradbury ran unopposed for the chair of the administrative council. Sue Madras ran unopposed for chair of the Activities Council. They were both incumbents, and Sue McCowan was elected as chair of the Technical Council. Past chair Carolyn Vandenberg decided not to run for re-election, and there were three candidates vying for that position. So we welcome Sue McCowan as the new member of the Executive Board. And that's it for this week's episode. As usual, you can find more links and information about the topics that we cover on this podcast on the website at usdf.org. And while you're there, be sure to check out eTrack for educational information and resources. And if you're listening to us on the website, you can download this to any podcast player from iTunes and other music apps. It's a free subscription, and that way you can listen to it on any mobile device. And do follow us on social media, on Facebook and Twitter, to find out when the next episode will be available. Until the next time, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world. And remember, the USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.